We're back, and now, yeah, we have Martin and the Whitechapel Anarchist Group, or a couple people, not the whole thing, so like you all roll together. But yeah, basically, you know, some sort of incident happened on day two of the camp, and it got, or day one, it was day one then, and it got quite a bit of press, actually, and it seems that there's a bit of a confusion, maybe, that, so first off, we're going to have Martin tell us his version of what he thinks happened from his perspective to sort of start us off. They did a coin toss earlier and Martin had to go first. We should have done that on air, actually. It would have been great.
A bit of drama, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, tension there. But yeah, go ahead. And you've got about no more than 5 minutes, just to keep it fair.
Okay, so I was part of the soup, as were these guys. Everybody's setting up, and what I saw was a large group of people sitting in the middle of the camp, drinking and playing a sound system quite loud. Fine, it's to be expected. It's London, it's a camp. That's what I saw. Then I was helping put up a tent, and a friend of mine, I said, that sound is really quite loud and really quite pissing me off. And he said, yeah, it's pissing me off as well. I know, I'll go and ask them to turn it off. He went and asked them to turn it off in a very inappropriate manner, as he said afterwards. He went, they said, can you turn it down? I think they said, no, maybe there's a fuck in there. And then told them where to stick the fuck. And then it very quickly degenerated into him sort of reversing out of there very quickly, and a group of people looked like they're about to fight. So that's when I first interjected and went over to save his ass from getting a kicking, basically.
Okay.
That was all sort of placated. This guy, I spoke to him immediately afterwards, and he realised he made a mistake. A, because he's going to get a kicking, and B, because he just sort of immediately launched into a threat of violence, not against the individuals, but did offer to put a sledgehammer through their sound system, and he meant it. So they probably assumed he meant it because he did. So things then sort of calmed down. The music continued, the drinking continued. We then continued putting the stuff up. And then the next thing I heard was a rendition of Harry Roberts. And lots of... Harry Roberts is...
Oh, hey, guys.
The song's for later. So that is a little taste, basically, of the general sort of thing. It's like, fuck, what's happening? And I went over, and there was this very small tent, and it was barricaded, and there was just a massive altercation with that kind of song going on. And I was going, asking people, how is this helping? What's happening? And B, how is this helping? And it transpired that there were cops on site, inside the tent, and quite rightfully so, mm-hmm. WAG and lots of other people were very pissed off about it, mm-hmm. as I am. But to them, it appears that I wasn't. To them, it appears I was sort of defending cops on site. I wasn't. I just wanted to get the cops off site. The sound system was then brought over to sort of add to the noise, which was already considerable. A woman came out and was starting to say, do you want to hear what's going on? And there was sort of a general like, no, we don't give a shit, we just want them off site, stating previous violence they've had from the police, previous violence with Ian Tomlinson, etc., previous examples of why they want the police off site. And then it transpired the police were going to leave site in 5 minutes, but there was quite a strong insistence that no, they leave now. Mm-hmm. And to me, trying to fight two police on site, while I understand it's symbolic, I thought it was the way to keep the police off site here is by a judicious sort of game that we're playing, mm-hmm. and that includes keeping them offside, like not bringing them on ever. But to let those two coppers go off without, well, undue harassment, but a fair amount of harassment is, you know, certainly due, but to just let them leave in 5 minutes and then have a very clear policy we never let them on site again would how I'd preferred it. I think that's my end of the event.
Okay. Thank you for that. And hit it.
Okay, so the WAG recollection. I mean, I should say we've kind of spoken as well, myself and Martin, and have, like, you know, WAG aren't here to cause trouble. Like, a lot of the rumours have been created. And I should say half of our group when we arrived were off setting up site with the London neighbourhood. So half the people around the sound system involved from WAG literally just come up to be part of the swoop and just had a few beers and a bit of music. And it was WAG. There was a few nefarious characters from the Cambridge anarchist group, some old RTS, and some unaligned kind of anarchos. So we were just having a good time. Obviously, there was an incident where someone came over and, like Martin kind of expressed, he didn't articulate himself in the best way. He threatened us with a sledgehammer. And unfortunately, a lot of us in WAG, we won't put up with being bullied or intimidated, and we believe in collective action. So we let him know that in the best way possible. So obviously, just off the back of that incident, we were all quite worked up slightly, and admittedly we were a bit drunk. You know, we were here for a good time, but you know, with the situation that happened, being drunk didn't help. But as soon as that situation ended, we then spotted out the corner of our eyes two coppers walking around, one of whom was Julie Pendry, who is, as people will know, she's the silver on this operation, and people may remember her from the Gaza demos. She was in charge where they got people down in a tunnel and beat them with batons. So we obviously saw her and another copper just walking around willy-nilly with no one kind of giving them any grief. They were ushered into a tent, and this was like the second tactical error. The first one was letting them in. The second was putting them in a tent right next to our mob. You know, I'm just saying, I'm being honest with you. You know, we don't like police, and it's more than Ian Tomlinson. It goes more than that. It's more than just what happened at G20. For a lot of us involved in Whitechapel, we're class struggle anarchists. The majority of our group are like working class background, and really we have to deal with the police every single day. We get harassed. So how dare they walk onto this site? And more importantly, the fact that most people on this site are technically breaking the law and are involved in working towards direct action, which is obviously breaking the laws of this state. So everyone's lives are at risk here. People could serve time because a lot of things they're getting involved in to save the planet, to level the class system. So, you know, we kicked up a storm. There was people in climate camp T-shirts protecting the door, initially to keep out the media, and then the door was blocked up so no one from the outside could even see or hear what was happening. So from what we saw, these two coppers got taken, you know, there was people from the climate camp, I don't know who they were. They were taken cups of tea, and yeah, we broke into a few chants of Harry Roberts. We pushed our sound system up against the tent to share some of the fire music we were listening to with some of the occupants. We thought they might want to get into the spirit.
Dead Prez,
were rapping about the joys of politically motivated drive-by shootings. So we thought we'd share that with the Met's finest, and I know that ACAB, All Coppers Are Bastards, was sprayed up onto the tent, but unfortunately the graffiti artist didn't get to finish Kill All Riot Police. But basically, there was a little bit of fracas, there was a debate, a lot of people got involved against the police from the climate camp, but yeah, there was a lot of people who were trying to calm things down, and then the police were ushered off, but only through us chasing them and screaming scum and murderers. And I should say Fitwatch done a brilliant job at the gates to undermine the police presence.
Okay, thanks very much for that. Do you want to respond to anything that the other person has said, by the way? Just want to give you that opportunity. Okay, great. So I guess my first question is for you, Martin. Now, it's a bit of a long-winded one because it's going to include a quotation from the Whitechapel Anarchist Group website, because you actually wrote your sort of account online so people can actually go and read it as well, and I think it's quite an entertaining read, to be honest. But you write in there that Climate Camp Soft Cops warned us, the Whitechapel Anarchist Group, that it's not best to act like this when media is around, which just goes to show that some involved in the camp have so much faith in corporate media, police, and the state that their hopes for real radical environmental change are merely liberal posturing at best. So this seems to be a kind of an ongoing issue with climate camp, that some people take with climate camp, that it's not radical, or at least not radical enough in some people's eyes, because it's not overtly anti-capitalist. It doesn't posit itself as purely anti-capitalist, anti-institution. And so, for example, meeting with the police, not necessarily cooperating, but even meeting with them is sort of legitimizing that power structure. And, you know, this isn't just an environmental struggle, this is a social struggle. So basically, what do you take of this idea that it's liberal posturing to have the cops on site to wait, do you have any sort of response to?
So firstly, I'm really happy that WAG have taken the whole incident very seriously and spoken about amongst themselves, made that statement. Doing this today is brilliant. It sort of gives me a lot of confidence that they don't just think it's fine to have that and it's nothing. So that's the first thing to say. Climate change is a class issue. Definitely, it's the poor who's going to die first, then the middle class is going to die second, and then the rich people are going to die last.
It's the wrong way round.
Exactly. So it is a class issue, definitely. Climate camp is dominated by middle class people, definitely, of which I'm one, if you can believe in such simplistic divisions, which I don't. But climate camp is ostensibly allegedly an open process. However, I think it is stitched up by middle class elite who can travel around the country going to meetings every month. If you're based in a locality in London and don't fancy flitting around the country every month, then you can't be involved in that process. However, imperfect as that process is, as part of anarchist theory as I understand it, if a group of people get together and to decide to do something in a certain way, then that's part of my anarchist theory. Now, that mainly middle class or whatever, how you want to describe it, reformist, liberal, whatever you want to describe it, those group of people have met and decided through an agonizing process of consensus to get to do things as they are going to be doing it here. I then think it's the wrong way to go about it, just to decide that you know what's best for a movement and then try and impose your view on that movement. I don't go to mass meetings and don't try and change the direction of this because it's a pain in the ass and it would drive me fucking crazy. And I would probably want to punch the people who are sort of dominating that movement. So I just don't go to that meeting. So I put up with the sort of the liberal drift, which I see as a real serious problem. And the people I associate most with, quite a few of them are not coming to climate camp anymore because of that liberal drift, and I think it's a serious problem. However, I also see that climate camp is the most exciting and interesting thing that's happening to tackle climate change now. I think one of the most important things is to bring more people into the movement and through a process of radicalization and confrontation, they will lose some of their sort of pretensions and ideals before. And I think that happened massively at the other climate camps. Maybe it's one of the reasons why the police are backing off, because they're doing more outreach and positive radicalization for people than anybody else in any other sort of work I've ever seen, basically. And maybe that's one of their subtle reasons for actually backing off now, is because they're doing too much good work, basically, in terms of people fighting. Who knows? That's what I have to say.
Great. Thank you very much. That was very... great answers. I'm not being very articulate right now, sorry about that, guys. But just big up yourself. No, I was listening the entire time. I will. After, I probably won't get around to it, to be honest. So, go for it. So now I'm going to ask the WAG a question, because there are quite a few of them in the room, let's be honest. And, you know, just feel free to pop on the mic. We only have three of them here at camp, so just... get a mic.
We only have three mics. We've got a lot more WAGs. So.
Yeah, we do. We have more WAGs than mics. Problem. So here's my question. Well, it's a long, drawn-out sort of thing. But so I think there are quite a few people here that would go along with the statement that, you know, cops suck and they shouldn't be here. You know, judging from many just talking to people on site, their reactions, because there was a really strong reaction as well to the cops being here. But you were shouting slurs at the police, you blasted music, you disturbed a meeting. Your group also claims responsibility for property destruction in the form of spraying a tent. Now, it's a strong way of putting it, but basically that tent's going to have to be paid for. It's what I'm going to say is that your actions can be seen as quite alienating. And how do you explain or legitimize them, that kind of action to yourself, in terms of alienating people that potentially are on the same side as you on quite a few issues? And do you really think that this sort of action is going to further goals? And if so, what are they? And I also kind of have another question.
This
if
is
you
a long question.
Ooh,
this is like an essay.
Well, because the other thing is that you're kind of playing into a different stereotype about those bad anarchists. And, you know, yeah, on the one hand, people are pandering to the media like crazy here, like the corporate media, really trying to get them on side with particular things and making themselves seem quite liberal. But on the other hand, they're probably trying not to play into other corporate interest hands and being those crazy radical anarchists that spray paint, destroy, and shout slurs kind of thing. So basically, my question is, how do you see what you did as furthering your cause?
Well, I should say, really what happened, I wouldn't say was so much of a thought through action. It was just a spare of the moment reaction where a lot of emotions got played out. Furthering our cause, I don't think, you know, this is one incident. A group like WAG, you know, we do a lot of kind of local community work. We've just had the massive Spitalfields Fair, which was a family event. We've probably got the biggest distribution for a local paper in the whole of Britain. We've got 2,000 to 3,000 per issue. We've got massive ties with the market traders. We're involved in the Stop Tower Hamlets College cuts. So, I mean, that is how we further our cause, is local politics. We get involved in our local neighbourhoods. We link. We helped stop some of the evictions of the Ocean Estate in Stepney. You know, we get involved in day-to-day dirty politics because it's about our lives and fighting for our lives and fighting for survival. So that is how we further our cause. This is obviously one incident. And, you know, and this is no disrespect, because a lot of the media team, they've done a brilliant job with, like, the letter they sent out to the cops, and other people working on site. They have done, like, a brilliant job. So we're not here to disrespect people. We're not here to stir up trouble with any people. But I do think there is a major issue. You say that a lot of us have common ground. But even Martin pointed out that, you know, a lot of the organisation claims to be non-hierarchical, but it's very hierarchical, and it's predominantly middle to upper class people involved in that. Now, really, if we want to change the world, the masses is the working class. If we want to level that class system, we need class empowerment. And I think, you know, through what happened, yeah, we were angry, we were pissed off, and we kicked off a bit. But we really feel that having a presence at Climate Camp is more than just that event. We do, like Martin even pointed out himself, that the people that are going to get the brunt of the environmental apocalypse that we're facing will be the poorest. But also, a lot of us believe that it's not just about environmental issues. It's not just about coming to a field and camping here for a week, because that's actually not that radical. A lot of people can do that. They do that on most holidays, and really no, hang on, wait, no, but really, like, if we really want to make social change, like, there's brilliant examples here of consensus decision making and collectively working together environmentally, but we need to also apply that to, like, National Health Service, to public transport, to estates cleaning up the drugs there. It's not just about being in a field for a week. The environment is a very, very important issue, and as a working class, we have to deal with that first before anyone else. But there's also bigger issues. There's, you know, old people who are frightened to pay their gas and their heating, and they're dying, and 50% of children are living under the poverty line. And, like, you know, these are big issues. So it's more than just an environmental action. And I think for us as well, you know, like, and they have the Climate Camp the previous years has done brilliant, brilliant work in reaching out. But sometimes it feels the way that they are working with the media to create a very good image, working with things like The Guardian, it's almost pandering to the middle classes. Whereas, like, something like here, letting the police in the field. You know, you got one of the biggest estates round here. Round the corner, you got Brixton. You've got where Stephen Lawrence was killed and covered up by the police. So to encourage and outreach to working class people, we should not allow police on here. And I have to go a bit further. You said the police suck. They don't suck. They are our enemy. Yes. They are the front line of capitalism. We deal with them every day. They were invented to protect the ruling class, to protect private property. If we know that the corporations and the politicians are destroying our planet, they're destroying our lives, then we will not deal with the police. They are our enemy, and we will fight them at every instant. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, go for it.
Just saying that, like, if the kind of thing was so alienating, it seems that a lot of climate camp have come together and agreed now that the police shouldn't be on site. Like, it can't be that alienating if people have actually agreed with the message in the end of it. Like,
can I say, as far as I'm, as I said, I go to the process because I can't stand it. As far as I was concerned, it was clear, and it's always been clear, no cops on site. And that person didn't respect the consensus that was made, and she took it upon herself to... what happened. It was a fuck-up. It was not. There's never been agreed cops on site. There's now a massive debate, but there'll never be a consensus of cops on site because people will block it. I will block it. Loads of people will block it, and we'll keep blocking it. So there's no... The climate camps have never said cops on site.
But I think that maybe actually exposes the fact that there are people making decisions. They were kept in there, they were blocked up, and they were brought tea. Like, get them off the site. Fair enough, like, I understand some of the people on the gates, they might not be experienced with those things, and, like, they might have got flustered. That's understandable. I don't have a problem with the people doing the gates. It was the people who made those decisions. They should have just got them off the site, and I know Climate Camp will liaise with the police, and that's fine. That's the way they want to do it, and that we agree with that. But keep it off the site. This is liberated ground. People are committing an activity here, which actually... We're all in trouble, so, you know, we are, though. That's the truth, innit? And, like, you got to respect everyone's involvement in that.
But, can I say? Because to me, the Metropolitan Police last year were just surrounded by wasps. I was getting irritated by fucking wasps, and I was irritated by the police, and the similarity was very similar. If you just kick, it's best just to avoid them. You don't piss off the wasp, and you don't piss off the police, unless you have to. And if you have to, then you deal with it properly. If you just piss them off unnecessarily, then they're going to sting you. But if you just... Well, when you say wipe them out all in one go, then you wipe them out all in one go, and you know.
Well, we've got an audience in here, practically. It's great. So we're just kind of handing out the mic and stuff. But another WAG member, actually.
Yeah, just in response to that, because I'm from WAG and Fitwatch, so when it comes to the police, I think that it's a bit unrealistic to say that... if you just leave the cops alone, that you're not going to face backlash. There's, I don't know if any of you've noticed, but there's a massive cherry picker up in the sky with a CCTV camera and directional microphones on it. And obviously, there isn't really much we can do about that. But basically, if you don't engage with the cops, they're still going to gather intelligence. They're still going to invade our privacy, basically, and they're still going to collect information which could lead to prosecutions. So at the end of the day, I don't think that not engaging with them is a solution, because they're still going to engage with us. We have to confrontationally say, no, this is not acceptable.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Do you have a response? We need to wrap up, by the way. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for coming in, both of you and the rest of the WAG crew.
We should say it's all peace and love between
everyone. Yeah, totally peace and love here.
We're all here for one thing, seriously.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Definitely all working together. And, this kind of, like, discussion is really healthy. If it's not happening, that would be disturbing, to be honest. But, so, yeah, great. Thank you so much for coming in.